Yes, tonight we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we left off at verse 21 last week. And what we have in the remainder of Ephesians chapter 5 is marriage. Should we sing that song together? Love and marriage, love and marriage. Goes together like a horse and carriage. Yeah, remember that one, anybody? Yeah, you do. It's great. It's great. So we are going to take a look at the marriage relationship and what the Lord has to say. Now, this section of Scripture, Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, is the longest of all the Scriptures in the New Testament having to do with marriage. So this is kind of like the Azarat of all Azarats of being married or thinking about marriage or helping people with marriage and the way it ought to be. And I like that the Lord is real simple about it. He's got one thing for the woman and one thing for the man. Let's not complicate this. Just do one thing and you'll be okay. So it's a great, great thing that we have here. Now, I'd like to go ahead and read verse 21. It says, submitting one to another in the fear of God. Now, this is kind of addressing to us what the theme of the rest of Ephesians 5 is about, and also then the first part of chapter 6. It's about submission, as it's actually begins with wives, submit to your own husbands. Actually, all of us are in some place of asking to submit by God to others. And it's part of our discipleship and part of who we are. And so we have in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now turn with me then to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, this promise is actually given first in the Ten Commandments, and it's the only commandment with promise, and that's what we're being told here, to honor father and mother. The promise is that it might be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So a good way to live long is honor father and mother, right? But this is also an obedience. It's an obedient scripture. It's a submissive scripture for the kids to do that. Now, let's take a look at verse 5 of Ephesians 6. It says, employees, be obedient to those who your employers are according to the flesh. God loves that. If you're a company man, he loves that, because you're into helping the people that are giving you money and hired you. And it's a blessing to them, and you'll go far in your work if you learn this from the Lord. And so, again, it says bondservants and masters, it has there in some translations, but in the Roman Empire, there were 60 million slaves, but there were all different kinds of slaves. And the higher slaves were like the employee-employer relationship. They just called it different. And so, as we read, we can translate it, employees, be obedient to those who are your employers according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, real strong respect for the boss. You know, you don't want to be in the back room ragging on the boss. It's not cool, man, with the Lord at all. Yeah, you want to be lifting him up in prayer. And, you know, if he's a hard boss, you just say, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this situation? Those kinds of things. So we do be obedient that way, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Now, it's the same thing we saw with the wife. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Like you would submit to the Lord, submit to your husbands. And now it's saying for us employees that we should be obedient to our employers as unto Christ, in sincerity of heart. Yes. not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. We are slaves to Christ. That's what Paul said. I'm the bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's the lowest form of slave. And Paul chose to be that because Jesus called Paul a servant of his. I no longer call you servants, but I call you what? I no longer call you friends. Right. So Paul is a friend to God, just like you and I are. But here he chose to be a bondservant, a douloi, the lowest form of servant to Christ. But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart as you serve your employer, as you serve at your job, you do it as unto the Lord and actually from your heart, with goodwill, doing service, serving as to the Lord and not to men. You look past the men to the Lord because this is what God likes, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free, or an employee or employer. And so really strong language here, and showing really what the subject is, actually learn submission. Every one of us are in some kind of submission. And so it's not like poor wives, they have to submit. No, all of us are called to it. And there's great good in it. And so it's a blessing. You know, I love this part here where it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. You know, when you have a job and you're real good when the boss is around, and sometimes you're tempted to be real bad when the boss is gone. And man, did the Lord ever bring me short on this one once. I was working auto parts, and the boss was out, and the phone rang, and I thought I'd be funny, and I answered, Sparks Brothers Auto Supply, you stab them, we slab them. Never should have done that, because the boss had walked in just before I did that, and I was so caught. And it was the Lord. It was the Lord that had the boss come in just as I said that. And it's just, I was young and dumb, and I made a huge mistake there, didn't I? So we never want to be faking it or just serving with eye service, but really dig in and say, you know what? I'm going to be a good auto parts man for these people that have hired me to do this job. And I think I learned that during the course of time, and I think all of us do and find out that to be true. I'm so proud of one of our congregation members. He started out working with the city, with the people that do the streets, and he began to have kids, and they kind of grew up with my kids at Garden Grove High School, and you know, old Louis Vecchione, and he just did his job. He stayed out of the drama. He just put his nose to the plowshare or whatever and just went forward, one foot in front of the other. And when he retired, he was at the city council meetings with a suit and a tie. He was the head of the whole street department. When we moved in here at the church, he did our street for us. He sent all the guys over here and put new blacktop down. We felt so special, you know. But he was highly successful. And I just remember having talks with him about that. And he was just a godly man. He just decided he was going to do a good job and love the city and love working for him. So that's the way it works with that kind of thing. So I wanted to give you the introduction here to the submission deal, to let the wives know that they're not the Lone Ranger in this command to be submissive to their husbands. Now, some will teach using the scripture in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, to try to kind of negate that wives should submit to their husbands. It's kind of like the politically correct thing is, you know, you don't say you're going to be obedient to any husband. No, that he's the enemy, you know, that kind of thing. It's the worldly way to look at it so many times. It's just really ugly and wrong, because there's so much good. If, ladies, you would go with what the Lord says. So let's read it. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, For the husband is the head of his wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. If somebody wants to beat the lady up, it's good to have Big Bruiser around to take care of that situation. Boy, I remember there was a knock at our door, and it was the linebacker from a professional football team that lived next door to us. He used to play for professional football. He was retired then. But he came over, and my wife answered the door and said, "Your son shot a BB through my window." And so my wife did exactly what she knew she should do. "Wait here, I'll get my husband." You know, because, man, husbands are to protect those wives, right? And that's what we read here. So he is the Savior of the body. Christ is the Savior of the church, and us men are to watch out for our wives. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." This is a toughie for many, many girls, especially if they've heard any women's lib teaching. You know, they just want to get away from this idea and forget this idea completely. But the Lord wants us to really obey His word, doesn't He? In the name of Jesus Christ. So I'd like you to turn now to 1 Corinthians 11:3. This is to refute the idea that this makes the wife something less than the husband, that men and women are not equal in the eyes of the Lord. That is not a biblical doctrine. And of course, people that talk against this scripture about wives submitting to husbands are really saying that that's demeaning for a wife to submit to her husband. It's a demeaning thing. It's saying that women and men aren't equal. So I want to give you a couple scriptures on that idea to show how that's baloney, baloney, salami. So we go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11:3. It says in verse 3, "I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now you see the order here. It's God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman. So that's the setup. But the next scripture I want to give you is that Jesus Christ is equal to God, right? And so the husband and wife are equal, although there's an order that God gives on how to do things to live a great life in marriage. And the woman's part is to submit to her husband. Let's go ahead and turn now to Philippians 2, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians is after Ephesians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Yes, Jesus is equal with God. He said to Philip, "He who's seen me has seen the Father." Yeah, total equality between him and God the Father. And so he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Boy, that's humbling, to make yourself of no reputation. You know, you take down all the flags that are about you. And, you know, if you die, you don't want people to remember your name. You want them to remember Jesus Christ's name. And you just want to glorify Him your whole life, see? And this is what Jesus did with the Father. It says, "He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." And so He humbled Himself to take on the form of a man. And what a great humbling thing to do for Him. And so at the same time, being equal with God. And so in the same way that Christ is subject to God and is still equal with God, the man or the woman is to be subject to man's leadership in the marriage, but also she's equal with man in every way. And they are two together, And this is revolutionary because the Taliban never got over it. But Jesus Christ broke into the Western world, didn't he? He came and he glorified himself and lifted up Mary Magdalene, who was the first one to see him after his resurrection, and the other women after that, that told the men they'd seen Jesus alive. And so Jesus was actually lifting up the women. And it's just beautiful to see that. So in no way is the be subject to your husband thing any kind of belittling of women. I think that Jesus Christ is the greatest women liberation guy ever, because he came to set us all free and to just be a blessing to women and men alike. There's no difference between male or female, Jew or Greek, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all the same and walking shoulder to shoulder to meet our Lord. Amen? Okay, now with that said, I want to take you to some more submission scriptures. And don't worry, we're going to get to the husbands. Okay, so just kind of go with me on this. And I'd like to turn with you to actually 1 Peter now. 1 Peter 3 and the first six verses. 1 Peter 3. Now, 1 Peter is after Hebrews, after James, and then you have 1 and 2 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, we get into the nitty-gritty now in these verses. This is why this is important to teach and important to know, that this is something that God wants women to learn in their marriage relationships, because so many good things come from it. And I'm going to give you some testimonies about that too. But here's the first thing. It says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some, we got to read this slowly now, even if some of the husbands do not obey the word. I want you to be submissive to your husband, even if they're not obeying the word of God. That they, without a word, without begging and nagging, without a word, may be won back to the Lord, won back to a good relationship by the conduct of their wives. Wives have a lot of power. And by the way they act and the way they are, you can just break the hardest big guy and bring him down to the level of humility and into the place of loving God. But it says that they may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct, just that you're a godly woman, and it drives them nuts if they don't know the Lord. And there's a lot of trouble that comes when they are refusing God. But when they finally break down, man, they become really good honeys. I'm telling you, because you've done your job. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by respect for them and for the Lord. And so this is the word. Now, I want to give you a testimony about this. This is a true story. I got this from a book. It was actually a book called Like a Mighty Rushing Wind by Mel Torrey. There was a lady, and for 20 years her husband would not think about Jesus Christ. And I think, as it turns out, he saw Jesus as the other man in her life. She's got another man. His name is Jesus, and she goes sees him every Sunday morning. And he was hardened, tough cat to break. And she didn't know how to get to him. So she went to a pastor and said, "Pastor, is there anything I can do to reach my husband?" And he said to her, "You think of something he really loves, and you do it for him in the name of Jesus." "What?" I say, "What?" "Yeah. You go home, be good to him. In the name of Jesus, your chaste conduct, your sweetness as a handmaiden of the Lord." And she knew exactly what that was right away, because he went to work every morning at 4 a.m. But he loved coffee before he went to work, and she knew that. But she would never get up with him. There's no way she's getting up at 3 a.m. to make coffee for her husband give me a break, you know. So the next morning, she woke up at 3 a.m. and she went downstairs and started brewing coffee, and he woke up to the smell of coffee coming up the stairs. Oh yeah, I'm liking that. And he goes, what is going on? And she brings a cup of coffee up the stairs and said, Jesus told me to do this for you. He was saved in 1 week. And that's a true story. And I got it from a book, so I know it's got to be true if it's from a book, right? So, you know, that's how that works. And this is something that is really special that God wants to do through the wives. The wives are powerful, powerful people. And it's most beautiful. Now, I'd like to also then just go back then to 1 Peter. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Or we're right there, sorry. And it says here now in verse 3 of 1 Peter, it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, this quiet spirit, we have to say, a quiet spirit is a quiet spirit. And my daughter-in-law, Jenny, with the long red hair, she's a very quiet spirit. She's such a blessing to be around, and I know everybody knows her at church and knows that. But she cannot shut up. I mean, she talks so much. And you know what? It's because Jeremiah is quiet. Jeremiah said 3 words, I think, in his whole time of growing up with us. I said, James, what do you remember about Jerry? And he says, I don't remember anything about him. Because he didn't talk. He really didn't say anything. And when he was on the phone for 4 hours, when he met his wife, Jennifer, I just was dying to know what in the heck he said, because 4 hours is a long time. And they got married, and they have a beautiful marriage. It's beautiful. And she's a very meek and quiet spirit in the Lord. Oh, she's precious. But she does talk a lot. So it's not talking about talking here. It's just talking about the spirit of a person. And that's what we want to develop here, according to the Lord. Because he says the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. It's precious to him to see a woman that's in a meek and quiet spirit. And she's totally in submission to Jeremiah. She'll say to the daughters, when the daughters come up and say, can we do this? She'll say, well, check with Daddy. You know, let's follow Daddy's lead. She loves him so much, because he's loved her so much. And it's a beautiful thing. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women. Now here's where we get to the nuts and bolts of this situation. Okay, ready for this? 2 things. The holy women in the old times that they want us to see as an example here, who trusted in God. They're not believing human doctrine. They're not looking to see whether their husband's going to kill them or not. They're actually trusting God with their lives. And, you know, Sherry's always said this to me, that she looks past me to Jesus Christ, and I'm not jealous at all. I would never be jealous of Jesus. You know, one time we were at Costa Mesa years ago, and we were in the yard, and they were singing the Lord's Prayer. We were all singing the Lord's Prayer. And after we're done, Sherry turned to me. She said, I think the Lord kissed me. She said, I felt something brush over my lips, and I just felt the worship of, you know, kiss the Son, it says in Psalm 2. And so, you know, I looked at her and I went, well, praise God. And I was so moved with that. But, you know, these women that have a close relationship with God, they're just priceless, priceless. Her price is far above rubies. You know, it says in Proverbs 31. And so, who trusted in God also adorned themselves in submission to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord with a little L, not calling him Lord the big L, but Lord as leader, whose daughters you are, and here's the next big event here, whose daughters you are and are not afraid. Don't be scared of obeying God's word. Are not afraid with any terror. So number one is trusting in God. Being able to look past your husband, because your husbands aren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But what you want to do is obey the Lord, because you're trusting in Him and His word. Father knows best. And our Father says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And so be submissive to them in everything. And take that attitude and believe the Lord and hold God's word. God, this is what you tell me to do. And even if my husband's off the wall a little bit, he'll get better if I do this. To show him my chaste behavior and a meek and quiet spirit and not be on his case all the time. That's what works. This is another true story, but this really happened to me. I had a lady call me at the church and she said, I've got a stinking bad, ugly dude husband. That's more than the quote, but she said her husband was bad and she wanted to do anything to get him to get better. And I said, would you do anything? And she said, I'll do anything. And I said it a second time because I knew where I was going to take her to these scriptures I'm giving you right now, which are hard to hear sometimes. Would you do anything? I will do anything. And I hit her up three times because I knew where we were going. And I said, would you do anything? And she said, anything. And I read her this scripture. And you know what she said? I would do anything but that. That's what she said. And what is she saying? She is saying, I will do anything but what works. Because this is from God. And what God says works. It works. And it's just a marvelous thing to see it in action. And to experience that from a godly woman. My grandmother was like that so much. After 10 years of marriage, she found out that my grandfather didn't work on Saturdays. He would get dressed up and go into town while she was stuck with four kids out in the country. And when she found that out, she was so mad at him for 3 weeks that she would not speak to him. And she was, you know, tempted to just walk away. But she stayed with him and she prayed for him. And he was a really mean old cuss, I'm telling you. But you know what happened to him? In his latter years, Billy Graham was on TV, and he opened his heart to Christ. And I know it was my grandmother's sticking with him that saved him. And I'm going to see my grandfather in heaven because of my grandmother. What a saint she is. Nano. We called her Nano. She had the biggest, most wonderful laugh you'd ever want to see. I can still picture her in my mind. She would put her head back and just laugh. She was the most wonderful lady. You can probably think of somebody like that in your life. A grandma somewhere, an aunt that knew the Lord. Oh, can't beat them, I tell you. You can't. And there it is. So trusting in God, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go with the word of God. You've got to get over that. You've got to rebuke those thoughts and those lies from Satan. Man, if you submit to this guy, he will drive you off a cliff because he wants to commit suicide. Not if the Lord's with you. God will protect you. God will guide you. God will show you what to do next. And if he's a tough nut that's hard to crack and wants to walk away, sometimes you got to let him go. The Bible says that God has not called the believer to peace. I mean, away from peace. God has called us to peace. And so, but he might be back. And you got to give him some time to get better. That God had shown what a boob he's been, you know, because that God's good at that. He certainly is. He saved the Apostle Paul, who persecuted the church. And Apostle Paul says that God saved him and put him in the forefront, in the light, to show the whole world how merciful God is. That's why the Apostle Paul became an apostle, from being so bad, to show us how good God is and who he can forgive. He can forgive anybody, and he can transform lives and take care of things. So don't be afraid to just trust God with his work and turn the husband over to him. I want to share another great testimony about this situation with you, and that's about Pastor Chuck and Kay, his wife. Actually, Pastor Chuck worked for 17 years in the ministry and only had 16 people in his church. And so he had to work three jobs to keep the family alive. And Kay was disappointed and so forth with how things were going. They did the best to love those 16 people. And then after 17 years, the Lord finally released Chuck from his other jobs and made him a full-time pastor. And he had a church in Corona out there of 250 people. But as he was serving them out there in Corona, 25 people came to him from Costa Mesa and said, "Would you come and be our pastor?" And Chuck started praying about it, and the Lord spoke to him, said, "Chuck, I want you to take your family and move down there and pastor the 25 and leave the church of the 250 to the assistant pastor." But then he made the mistake of telling Kay, his wife. They had just bought a house. They were happy as clams at high tide up there in Corona. And Kay hit the roof. She hit the roof. She said, "What? You've worked all these years, and finally you've got just one job like a normal person? And we have a house here in Corona, and you're asking me to leave the house for 25 people that won't be able to support us?" Well, Chuck went out and prayed in the rain, because it was raining, and he left Kay at home mad. And he walked in the rain, said, "Lord, if my wife's against me, what can I do?" And so as he was gone walking, God spoke to Kay, because Kay is righteous, lovely, born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, Christian. And she's going to go with the word, because she trusted God and was not afraid to lose her house. And when Chuck got back, she said, "Chuck, if God has been saying that to you, let's go. But don't talk to me about it." She was still showing that she was upset about it, but we'll do it. And the rest is history. They went down to Costa Mesa, those 25 people, and those 25 people turned into 2,500 people. And there's 1,500 baby Calvaries just in the United States. There's six Calvary chapels in Moscow. There's one even in Siberia. And this is a worldwide outreach by the Holy Ghost, because Kay Smith was a godly, living the word, Christian lady. Bible says a wise woman builds up her house, but a foolish woman will tear it down with her own two hands. You never want to stop God. And I think all you ladies here, you know about that. But anyway, that is the most powerful testimony, and I share that a lot with you. Probably some of you have heard it before, but it just really ministers to me along these lines. Well, let's get to the husbands, okay? Let's do that. You women can go, whew. Let's go to the husbands. Now, you husbands, I think this is one of the hardest commands in the whole Bible, because it's telling you to be exactly like Jesus. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church." The husband part is love. You've got a flower in your life that God has given you. She's tender. She's got a muscular structure that's elongated, where your muscular structure is round, because you're the tougher, bigger guy. You've got a thick forehead, frontal bone, and women have kind of littler ones because you like to headbutt people and win kind of thing. Men have got strong, thick heads. And I think it goes along with what we think about thick-headed, you know, too. They're stubborn sometimes. But we're told here, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. This is a tremendous truth here, that God is saying you can help cleanse your wife. You can help beautify your wife to actually create in her the meek and quiet spirit that God's talking about by loving her. She'll melt under husband's love. She'll melt and become more and more beautiful. She'll bloom like a rose, and she'll just get prettier and prettier as time goes on, and more precious every day. And you know, it is just the most precious thing. And so God is actually saying, husbands, I want you to lay down your life for your wife. And you know, I believe he's talking about a living sacrifice, because he did the death one. Jesus died, gave up his life's blood for us, that we might live and be totally forgiven of our sins. And he says to husbands, I want you to lay down your life for your wife, but I want you to be a living sacrifice, which is holy and precious before me and acceptable toward me. I beseech you by the mercies of God, this is Romans 12:1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so God wants me to lay down my life for my wife and to take care of her and dote over her, study her, make her a lifelong study project on how to make life better for her. And man, that's what he desires husbands to do. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He gave himself for her. Now, a way to do that, it's God so kind to give us how to proceed. He says that he, that is Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Imagine not having wrinkles or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish, no blemishes, just more beauty, by washing her in the water of the word. Don't you dare stay home to watch the Rams. You come to church and go with the wife and sit down with her in church and let God's word wash her. And if you can, and you could, I'm sure you can, because Sherry and I do this every single day. We read a chapter of the Bible together in the morning. And I'm telling you, we now have come to a place where we know it when we don't. It's a worse day. But we do it together. And I'm doing my husbandly, godly, head of the family duty to read and wash my wife in the Word of God. And she gets more and more beautiful. Everybody knows Sherry's beautiful. Man, and I think I told this to you before, but I'd love to tell the story. I woke up one night in the middle of the night, and I looked over at her sleeping, and I said, God, I love this woman so much. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's how I feel about you. And I start crying before the Lord. It's precious. It's so precious that it's hard to explain. And it makes you feel bad for the rest. There's a world out there with stinking, blinking, you know, calling the wife the old lady, and the things that men do. You just want to poke their eyes out sometimes. Man, open your eyes, dude, and see what God has given you. Because God made woman for man. And they throw them away. It's really stinking and it breaks hearts. It's horrible. So I just want to encourage you husbands to just love her with all your heart, with all your soul and strength. And God will bless your marriage, and God will bring it out good and right. There's this couple, I got to tell you this testimony, this couple that went into the ministry to minister to young couples, and Sherry and I were one of those young couples. We were still in our 20s when we went to their deal. They would get a hotel, and they wouldn't charge any money to the young couples that are invited. Other couples that had been through the program first would pay for somebody to be able to come to the hotel. And they would give their testimony and talk about marriage and how important it is. He was a pastor, and he was totally into being out in the flock with his people, and he neglected his wife so that she was actually given to much depression, and she was just crying all the time and just felt neglected because he was always gone. And he fell off the roof. One day, lightning hit him, believe it or not. You know, you ever hear the thing, God's going to strike you with lightning? That's what God did to this guy. He was up on the roof with the antenna, trying to get the right direction for the game, and lightning hit him. And he went up in the air and came down on the cement patio on his head. They took him to the hospital, and they figured out after checking him out, and he went from 190 pounds to 98 pounds, and they just sent him home to die. Just sent him home to die. And as he was laying in bed there, his little five-year-old daughter came out and put her hand around his toe and said, "Oh, Jesus, heal my daddy." And God gave him a verse right at that moment. Love your wife like I love the church. That's what I want you to do. You start loving Betty like I love the church. And man, God began to heal him, the prayer of his little girl, and he started to spoil his wife. This part is so great. I mean, I'm always moved with it. You know, I'll never forget him telling us this story. And he started spoiling her to death. She wants chocolates. Here, you can have C's. Is there anything else? You want flowers? I'm going to bring you 2,000 roses, you know. I mean, he just went crazy with this and began to spend time with her. They started having hose fights and food fights, and I mean, like teenagers. And she began to bloom from feeling so much love and concern and love for him. And she became the most sparkly, beautiful woman. We could hardly believe that she could ever be looking depressed and sad and not good. She had rosy cheeks, and she was teaching the ladies at this retreat, and I'm telling you, it changed our lives. And all those young couples that went with us, this is the most blessed thing. Husbands, love your wives like Jesus Christ loves the church, and put yourself to it, man, and give up a few things for her, and do a few things that might even be denying yourself. Oh, I might deny myself here. Good. If anyone comes after me, Jesus Christ said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's what discipleship's about. So part of discipleship is to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, my goodness, it's beautiful. And so there it is. The washing of the water of the word is a good way to do that. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You're actually loving yourself to love your wife, because the two have become one. And it goes on and says this next. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now, nourishing is taking care of her physical needs to make sure she's got food and so forth. And cherishing has to do with the inner person, which would be the meek and quiet spirit, which is built up by the Word of God. So you're called to do both of those things. Now, all of us, probably go through poor times in our lives. And we see poor times, and many couples suffer from poor times. But we're given this command to nourish her and cherish her. And let me tell you about this, and I know you know this. Who's our husband for eternity? Jesus Christ is your husband, just like you're the husband of the wife. So, if husbands are supposed to nourish the wife, don't you know that Jesus Christ will nourish you and give you the money you need? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The things you need will be added to you because He is your husband. He's your nourisher. And I'll share this testimony again. You probably heard this one a lot too, but this is a true story. We were out of food, and Sherry had $50. We had $50 for her to do the 2-week shopping for little boys. And she, I just said to her, you know, well, we can just do what we can, so just go buy what you can. And she went and bought 3 bags of groceries. But while she was gone, the guy next door came over and knocked on the door. He said, you know what, we're moving today. And I have a lot of perishables in the refrigerator that go bad. Do you want them? Yes. So he brought over those and 3 bags of groceries. And Sherry came in with 3 bags of groceries. And what she couldn't get were in the other bags. Nobody's ever going to tell me there's not a God and that He's not into nourishing me. And that was so encouraging, so encouraging. And it's just the truth. A loving husband will nourish and cherish his wife, and that's what God does for us. And we're to just work at to do for our wives. Just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. You know where this clause first is? When God gave Eve to Adam. She's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, God said to Adam when He created Eve. But this is talking about us as the body of Christ, being part of Jesus. Marriage from Genesis all the way to Revelation is compared to Jesus Christ and the church. And I believe with all my heart that a godly marriage is the greatest witness on this planet of the love of Jesus for His church. And if there's a couple that has loved Jesus and are close to Him, they will draw people to themselves because it's such an awesome thing that God does to bring forth His witness through that couple. And I want to encourage you with that. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is also in Genesis chapter 2, and it's 5 more times in the Bible. It's in 3 Gospels. It's important to God, and it's given to us here. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is God's plan. It works. It works wonderfully. It's the most beautiful thing. And we see it unfold throughout the church in various and sundry ways with folks that decide to do it grandma's way. Let's just do it grandma's way. Let's follow the Lord and stay close to Him and close to one another and learn how to die a little. Learn how to apologize. Learn how to say, I'm sorry. Learn how to be together as best friends and not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Never use the couch to sleep on. It's a bad place, the couch, to sleep on. You got to go back to the bedroom and make up and stay there with the wife. Simple as that. No going home to mama. You stay with daddy. And the daddy is the father of the house. And that is an amazing thing to know and do, because God is the creator of marriage, and it is the building block of society and needs to be cherished and reverenced. Praise the name of the Lord. And I had other things to say, but I'm not going to. We're just going to pray, okay? I forget what they are. Actually, let's pray. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord. And it's true, you've given me a passion about this message and this particular thing in the Bible. And, Lord, as a pastor's heart, I guess just wanting to see people stay together, wanting to see people marry the right person, want to see people really make commitment and learn how to stick it out and to give up the pout. Just stick it out, whatever may come. And so, Lord God, we thank you, Father, that this is your heart. You've put people together and you hate divorce because you want them to raise up godly seed. Godly seed. Kids that see examples of people that really love each other. So, Lord, we ask that that situation of staying close to your word would be happening in all of our lives. And Father, for the singles here as well, of course, because they're not going to be single forever. They might get married for the first time in heaven to you. We're all going to be the bride of Christ because of the intimacy and closeness that you have designed for us forever. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we bless you, Jesus, and give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand together. And if anyone would like to pray, you can stay for prayer and be with us for that. Dennis, you want to go back in the prayer room? And my brother back there, James? Good, James. Okay, great. Hallelujah. So may the Lord bless you and may God lead you and all that you do. And may you be helped by him through thick and thin, whatever comes your way. We know that Jesus is with us, right? Yeah. So God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.